Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Good morning, all you folks out there that believe in liberty, because it is on the agenda today. We talk about political coffee over politics. Over a cup of coffee every day. We do this because, well, we think you can change your world. We think we can change Oregon one person at a time. So you don't have to quit your job because you're being told you have to be vaccinated. And you don't have to go to move to another state like Idaho. Liberty is on the agenda today, folks. So listen to this. Is it time that we push back in a little bit of a different way? I'm going to give you two examples of this. Clackamas County Commissioner Mark Scholl has stepped it in again. Or has he? Has he simply stated the obvious and the knee-jerk reaction is to accuse him of once again spewing hate? Is he pushing back and telling the truth? But what about the Yamhill County or the Newburgh school district employee who came to school in blackface to protest vaccination mandates and was attempting to look like civil rights icon Rosa Parks? Now, both of these instances are because people are standing up and are putting themselves and their jobs on the line, not to mention getting excoriated and lots of public visibility. Now, this is a story in OPB about the Newburgh school employee, and they call it a racist action. Now, that's editorialization if there ever was one. This is OPB staff and AP staff wrote this story. This is not an editorial. This is a so-called news story where they state that this employee's action is racist. Is it? Is it? Now, is this part of people saying, I've had enough? And they're willing to stand up, knowing it's going to be controversial, and push back. Now, remember we talked about how the Yamhill County Commission has declared the state of emergency because of Kate Brown's COVID mandate for first responders. Malheur County is now about to do the same. In a story from the Malheur Enterprise, and all of this you can see, by the way, on OregonWatchdog.com. Because of the impact of this and what's about to happen. And then, of course, we heard that a COVID case shut down the redistricting legislative session. Oh, what a convenient excuse. Republicans threatening to walk out. Yeah, we heard that yesterday, right? Too little, too late. It ain't going to happen. Now, it might happen on Saturday, because remember, they have till the 27th. Tina Kotek was to be governor. Has said, well, maybe we'll come back on Saturday. Wait a second. You had a whole bunch of people exposed. Aren't they supposed to be quarantined for 14 days? Yeah, right. Also, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to attorney Daniel Ortner at the Pacific Legal Foundation in what we had talked about this some time ago. Oregon banned these love letters. Huh? You remember that during the legislative session? Where you, if you are selling your home, cannot write a specific, it is now illegal in Oregon for you to write first of its kind ban in the nation, by the way. No other state has been so stupid as to do this. Bans you as a homeowner writing a letter to the prospective owner who might buy your house, talking about all the good things you love about the home in the area. All right? That's banned. That's bound under House Bill 2550, which passed and got signed into law. Daniel Ortner was one of two lawyers working for Pacific Legal Foundation that wrote an op-ed about this. We're going to talk with him about it because this is clearly unconstitutional. We're also going to talk about what was the problem they were trying to solve here. Because the Realtors Association cannot find, neither can the state of Oregon, a single confirmed instance that this love letter was discriminatory and resulted in a lawsuit or a fair housing complaint. Because it's all about race. We're going to talk with him about that because this is part of liberty. Every day, the leftists seek to take away your rights. Every single day. And, I mean, it continues. Did you see the, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a poll, and I will find it here. There was a poll taken with college students at a particular college. And I believe it said over like 26% of them were okay with the idea of using violence. Let me say that again. Of using violence to do what? To go after people who would not comply with vaccination mandates. What? Yeah. No kidding. Now, what's scary is that, in all seriousness, these people at some point are not only going to be voting, but these people are going to be inhabiting school boards and a lot of other places. They're going to be making decisions in our city councils. They're going to be serving in the legislature. People who actually believe this is okay. Is it any wonder why Antifa feels that they can do anything they want to do? Because they believe that violence is okay against Christians. I know. Because I was on the receiving end of that, as you know. At any rate, it's every day your liberty is being threatened. Is it time we push back? By the way, I got a text from Freddie, who sent me wise words from a stockbroker for a particular company. This is back in April 20th of this year, 2021. And when the stockbroker was asked about what to buy, here's what he said. Quote, if the current administration is in office much longer, canned goods, a generator, water, and ammunition would be your best investments. I wrote back and I said, that's fairly prophetic. You know why it's prophetic? Look at what has happened since that time. By the way, Gateway Pundit has a story about there's a new study shows that one in 1,000 develop heart inflammation. after COVID vaccination. Myocarditis and other related health issues.
Oopsies.
And they wonder why people don't want to get the jab. They just wonder why. Imagine. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. By the way, Maricopa County is still ground zero for finding out what happened in 2020. Well, one of the Maricopa County supervisors, we talked about his comments. Well, he backtracked big time, apologized for, and just totally repudiated himself, made himself look like a complete fool, saying that there was initially all the comments that we read yesterday, right? Now he resigns and says, well, there was no cover-up. The election was not stolen. Biden won. And I wrote to the person who sent it to me, who's an activist down in Arizona, who sends me this stuff. And I just said, what a pathetic, pandering politician. I said, it's a fitting end to such a scumbag. And that's exactly what I don't like to talk that way, folks. But how else do you describe someone who engages in this kind of behavior? Seriously, how else do you do it? Not enough time to be fair to our first caller, so hang on. We'll get through the break. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk. Now, is it time we push back? Is Mark Scholl stating the obvious? Because he reposted on Facebook a meme that compares the vaccine requirements to Nazi Germany and the Holocaust of forcing Jewish people to wear a gold star, saying, anyone see a parallel here? Or the Newburgh school employee who came to school wearing blackface to protest vaccination mandates. Are people getting bold now and are saying, I've had enough? And I'm willing to get suspended from my work. I'm willing to face the wrath of the media and my other elected colleagues, as in Mark Scholl's case, who immediately condemned it as hate speech. Really? Is it? Maybe those of us who fear that this is another step in losing our liberty ought to think about doing such things. You think? Back in a moment. 6:20.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back. It's 22 minutes past the top of the hour. In a moment, we'll go to the phones. Freedom Heating and Air is one of our great sponsors, and they're a great company that's been in business in Salem area for well over 40 years. They're successful. In fact, they're so successful, they need new employees. If you're looking to change your career, you want to work for a great company that celebrates and believes in freedom, Why don't you give them a call? 503-580-1456. 503-580-1456. Or check out their great website, freedomheatingandair.net. freedomheatingandair.net. Let's go to Art. Good morning, buddy.
So, Jeff, the 1 in 1,000 is reported cases, but you listened to Charlie Kirk last night, who did a story on the whistleblower. Did you hear the story about the whistleblower, Jeff?
I did. I read that.
So, 1 in 1,000 is probably not true because reports aren't being filled out by these hospitals of adverse reactions, including the heart attack, Bell's palsy, et cetera, et cetera. And therefore, if the hospitals aren't going to fill out the reports, and it was stated, in the thing with the whistleblower that they weren't doing it because it takes at least a half an hour for each report, and they're just not doing it because they don't have the time to do it. And so, that's a new ballgame, but of course we aren't hearing it in the news media and stuff. It's just being ignored as usual. And the people who aren't vaccinated are the ones who are going to be suffering for it. So I just wanted to bring that up. I mean, it's actually makes it a new ballgame. We now know that what we were thinking was true. You know, there was a lot of doctors and stuff saying things, but they weren't reporting on it. And this was just in the Department of Human Services hospitals. What about all the other hospitals?
Now, you bring up a great point, Art, and I appreciate you doing that. I'm going to let you go because I've got Jim Moore and Jess on the line, and I want to be sure to get to them also. I mean, it's serious. This more and more information is coming out. I mean, if you were at the rally, folks, on Saturday, you heard nurses describe problems that their patients were having after getting the jab. Stuff you're not hearing, seeing reported anywhere else. And the more and more this is going to come out, which is why the Malheur County Commission is declaring an emergency. Their ambulance service over there says 60% of their ambulance personnel are choosing not to get vaccinated. Idaho has rescinded their vaccination requirement for emergency workers. Did you know that, folks? They have. Let's go to Pastor Jim Moore, Salem House of Prayer. Jim, good morning. How are you, friend?
Good morning, Jeff. Coming to you from Austin, Texas right now.
So, wow.
Yeah. So proof positive that you can listen to the program no matter where you're at. So anyway, I just wanted to answer your question with a resounding yes. Capital Y-E-S. We have to push back. Power intrinsically will grow, and an abuse of power will grow unless it is pushed back upon. And I think that's one of the things that we don't understand many times, is that if we just sit back and I believe in prayer, you know, I am a big guy in prayer, starting a ministry based on that, and I believe we should, but we also are supposed to act. And so when we are silent, the powers of darkness, they just increase. And so we are in literally, you know, some of the statistics that you just quoted, we are in a, you know, informational warfare. People cannot respond to something that they don't know. And so parents going to school boards and people sharing on the internet, we must be vocal about this resurgence and increase of darkness. And the other side is doing that. They're definitely holding back information. And so I believe that's one of the reasons that God has given us the internet and all of these tools of communication. And if we don't use them, we have no one to blame but ourselves. So answer, resounding yes, we need to not only be vocal, we need to push back. We need to demonstrate. I know some people are going to think that's overboard, but I don't believe it is. And we need to do more. We're just now starting, I think, the conservative movement and many believers, many Christians of all faiths are just now starting to rise up. And it's already having a massive impact.
Yes, and it has.
Times 10.
It's exactly right. Pastor, thank you so much. Be safe in Austin, Texas. Let's quickly go to Jess. Jess, you got about 45 seconds. Go, man.
Very good. Okay. The Christians have been putting out confusing information for years. I've studied the Christian history for over 25, and we've come to a point in our time in history that we're extremely docile. Case in point, I'm going to a youth group meeting. I'm an assistant, and the youth leader's telling the young minded mushhead teenagers that dude comes into your house, sticks a gun in your face, and wants to take you a TV. The Christian way is to get on your knees and pray for the guy. And don't do anything to stop it. And then when he leaves, call the police. So when I'm taking a couple of the kids home from the youth meeting, I said, does that make any sense to you? And they go, I don't know what to mean by that. I said, so you think it's wrong for you to defend yourself and your family, but then you'll turn around and call somebody to do what you're not willing to do? If it's wrong, why would you call them to do what you're not willing to do? It isn't wrong. Defend yourself. You can't be like Jesus. You're not Jesus. You're your own human being. Pray about it all you want, but you got to use your two arms, your two legs, and your brain to fight your way out of being pinched. And I'll bet you there are a lot of Christians in Afghanistan who are dying in place and praying for God's salvation, and it ain't going to come because they're just going to stand there and take it. That's what I want to say. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jess. You know, this whole business of liberty and everything that is coming at Christianity in America, folks. Maybe exactly what Jess described. What are we going to do? Back in a moment with attorney Daniel Ortner to talk about love letters banned by the state of Oregon. Unbelievable. Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. 24 minutes to the top of the hour. In a moment, we're going to chat with Pacific Legal Foundation attorney Daniel Ortner about the op-ed they wrote, pointing out the clear unconstitutionality of another new Oregon law passed by the legislature and signed into law by Governor Kate. Before I do that, I got to remind you, RoofMax is this new product that you can only get from Pfeiffer Roofing here in Salem. Family-owned business, been in business since 1978, second generation. This is a soybean-based product that literally they spray on your asphalt shingle roof. And it rejuvenates that. It gives it more life and gives you more years before you have to go to the tremendous expense of a new roof. So why don't you check it out? They got a great video on their website, PfeifferRoofing.com. Let me spell Pfeiffer. It's P-F-E-I-F-E-R. P-F-E-I-F-E-R. PfeifferRoofing.com. You can learn about all the great benefits of it. Or you can call them and get a free estimate about what it would cost to do this. 503-647-4725, 647-4725. Daniel Ortner's on the line with us. Daniel, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
So, great op-ed that you and Christina Martin wrote in the Oregonian talking about, well, just the unconstitutionality of House Bill 2550 that bans these so-called love letters, which I you have used personally yourself. Is that right?
Yeah, when my wife and I bought our house, we wrote one of these letters to the owner trying to explain our why we liked the property and why it was a good fit for our family. We thought it was we enjoyed doing it. It helped us to kind of solidify why we liked the house, and it might have made a difference. We don't know, but it was a useful exercise for us and for the owner, the seller as well, to receive that. Oregon has decided to ban them, and really, this is a classic solution in search of a problem. There's no evidence that these letters are contributing to discrimination, as the state is claiming. The Realtors Association, which even supports this law, but has said they're not aware of a single lawsuit, a discrimination case, filed as a result of a love letter anywhere in the country. And so there's no evidence that this is actively causing discrimination, and yet the state of Oregon has decided to ban expressive activity rather than solve real problems.
So this legislation was introduced by Representative Meek, Speaker of the House, Tina Kotek, and two other Democrat legislators. So the reason given, and I'm looking, Daniel, at the actual legislative summary from the Oregon legislature's page here, and it says this is necessary to help the seller avoid selecting a buyer based on race, color, religion, sex, sexual orientation, national origin, marital status, or familial status in violation of the federal fair housing law. So they're saying that these love letters could lead to this kind of thing, but they could never provide in any testimony any proof of that?
I'm not aware of any. I mean, there's no in the state, the legislative history, there's no evidence that they look to. I'm not aware of any evidence. The Realtors Association, which supported the law, even said, we're not aware of any cases stemming from this. It's anecdotal at best. Of course, an owner can always choose to discriminate if he or she wants to, but it's already illegal under state and federal law to discriminate. And so we should prosecute, bring actions against anyone who discriminates, not ban lawful communication. These letters, they give a lot of valuable information. For instance, homes are much more personal and meaningful than anything else we buy. We go to the store and buy socks. It doesn't have the same emotional aspect as buying a house. And so if you're a seller, you're selling your family home, you might want to receive one of these letters so that the buyer can tell, you can know that the buyer is not going to flip the house or not going to use it for an Airbnb, but is going to live there and be a good neighbor to the neighbors you care about. So these letters convey very valuable information to the seller, and they give buyers a chance to compete in a very competitive market. And really, I think it gives individuals who have less means a chance to compete for a house, and so that probably benefits minorities in the long run rather than hurts them.
Yeah, that's what I find interesting here. Is one of the things that you wrote in your op-ed that I thought was an important point was, and folks, I'll have the op-ed up on the screen and the my Facebook page, along with the podcast page on KSLM.news. But you make this point that this law in search of a problem, because there is no problem, demonstrates that the state just doesn't understand the process of buying a home.
Yeah.
So why would someone, if that's the case, is it the state that doesn't understand the process of buying a home, like you've pointed out, or is there a darker agenda behind this? Is this really just trying to make everything about race?
Yeah, what they're trying to do is take away, really, they're saying, well, because we're so afraid of racism in this case, we're going to say all that matters is the dollars and cents. Owners, seller, you don't know anything else. So they're basically saying they're taking out any meaning to transactions, and they're saying all it is these dollar and cents amounts. That's all you can take into account. And I think that that's degrading of human of experience of what the process of buying a house is like or selling a house is like. It's not just about the bottom line. There are many, many times speaking to realtors about this law and others, people say that sellers will make a sale that is get less money bottom line because they like the buyer more. They like the offer being offered more. They think the house will be taken care of better. So people make those decisions for a lot of reasons, and I think that the legislature is kind of degrading that or trying to deny that aspect of human experience in this kind of false fear of racism.
Folks, we're talking with Attorney Daniel Ortner of the Pacific Legal Foundation. They have a great website, by the way. You should check it out. It's pacificlegal.org. It's all one word, pacificlegal.org. Now, I'm looking at your website, Daniel, and it says you've won 14 Supreme Court cases. Is that right?
Yeah, Pacific Legal Foundation has an incredible record at the U.S. Supreme Court, really, especially fighting for property rights, fighting for free speech, fighting for individual liberty. That's what we do. Coast to coast, we help people fight back against government overreach, and we help them win.
And people can donate to your cause and to your firm, right?
Yes. Yeah, we accept happy to accept donations. That's really what funds us. Are donations. We represent clients pro bono, without any charge to them, and we love support and also just love people being involved in our movement. You know, getting our communications team puts out videos and articles, incredible content promoting liberty. So we invite anyone to come and look at all that we have and donate if they feel so inclined.
So the next question, the obvious one, Daniel, is, so what are you guys going to do about this unconstitutional law? Are you going to challenge it?
Yeah, well, please stay tuned. We're certainly looking at it pretty closely. I mean, I think that there's a serious problem here. This is unconstitutional law. It does infringe on the First Amendment. We've spoken to several real estate agents who are very upset about this law and feel like it hurts them and their business and their desire to best represent their clients. So we're looking at it very carefully.
So fair enough. I mean, I didn't read. Has this law taken effect already? Did it have an emergency clause?
No, it goes into effect January 1st, I believe.
January 1st. Okay. So so you have some. So can you file? Would real estate agents have standing to file prior to the law going into effect, in your view?
I believe so. In the First Amendment context, courts are very willing to allow what's called a pre-enforcement challenge. You know, before a law goes into effect, you can bring a challenge because with the First Amendment, a law has a chilling effect if it restricts First Amendment freedoms. So people are not going to speak. People are not going to feel comfortable expressing themselves. And so because that chill is created by the law, the courts have been very willing to allow lawsuits early to protect this important freedom. The right to speak is so important that courts have said you can come in early and quickly into the courts in order to get protection.
Very good. I mean, that I think points to the obvious opportunity to challenge this.
Yep.
in law. And I truly hope you guys do. Yep. Because if we don't stand up against this, what's next, Daniel?
Yep. You know, this is the kind of thing that's going to spread in other states, other jurisdictions. Oregon's kind of pioneering it, but if it's not challenged, I do think that other states are going to do this, and they're going to keep restricting speech and restricting your ability to communicate in the marketplace. And it's going to be increasingly restrictive. So I think that this is a serious, serious problem that needs. You need people to stand up and say enough. This is no further on these restrictions on our liberty. We need to fight back.
Yeah, and what's stunning, Daniel, is that many people accept these restrictions as being okay, and it just blows me away. That's why I'm so glad that you guys are out there. Folks, go to pacificlegal.org. Support what they're doing. Communicate with them. Give them a little money. Pacificlegal.org. Daniel, thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Jeff.
All right, stay in touch. As soon as you file, we want to know. Want to have you on the
show. Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
I'll be sure to let you know.
Daniel Ortner, Civic Legal Foundation, folks. 6:48 in the morning. We'll be right back. Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. We are back, friends. Great to have you with us. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Eric Azer, Righteous Renovations, is another one of our great sponsors, and he is a guy, as a contractor, that is a man of faith, and he lives that in his business. He lives it in how he treats you. And then I got to tell you, he treats you right. Just look at some of the great work that they've done on their website, which is righteousrenovations.com, righteousrenovations.com. Julie writes an email about love letters. We were just talking with Daniel Ortner from Civic Legal about that. She says, how can these be racist? Can they identify your race by your handwriting? Do you include your pictures? Not. As a seller, I'm more interested in the financial angles, not the skin color or last name. The entire concept of this bill is not racist. It is stupid. Boy, that's hard to argue with. Corby writes about pushing back. Pushback is long overdue. Feel like people are in denial. We were overthrown in January from a coup d'etat of a sitting president. Our elections are for optics only. We're in a biological and psychological war. We see nothing but propaganda from the mainstream news. Our judicial system and our military answer to someone else besides the American people. I can go on and on and on. Fair enough. Let's go to Rich. Rich, good morning. How are you, friend?
Morning. So I guess this love letter thing, we're another socialist test bed like we were for mail-in ballots, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
It seems like the liberals always seem to use Oregon as their test bed before they go nationwide with it.
That is true. I mean, you look at a lot of things that we've done here, motor voter, assisted suicide. Let me just go right on down. Decriminalizing heroin and methamphetamine, small amounts of it. All of it.
So that's all we are now is a test bed for the communist or the socialist, however nice, polite way people want to put it. And people don't realize that yet. Interesting. Until now.
Well, exactly. I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm saying to myself, at what point do we say we've just all had enough? And then what happens after that? I mean, we're beginning to see signs of that. You know, you look at all of these, what these county commissions are doing, declaring emergencies, which I suspect, Rich, even though nobody's saying it in these articles, it probably gives them some additional legal authorities by declaring emergencies to push back on the governor and so on and so forth. So people are waking up.
Because I was tired of this March of 2020, and that's why I kept bringing up all those statistics, was that the numbers don't match what's going on. Still don't.
No, they don't. And you can't believe what the news media or, frankly, the quote-unquote officials are telling us. You can't believe any of it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, people like my wife won't wear their masks in the stores and no one's saying anything because it's enough's enough and it's too late that it takes over 18 months for people to get the same place I was on March 10th of last year.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. Absolutely right. Rich, thanks. I appreciate it.
Bye.
503-589-1220 is that Power Buick GMC talk line. Let's check for a few more emails here to see what has come in. David writes this. To stay silent is sin. And he apparently wrote this, and it's about Bible verses exposing evil. And he uses Ezekiel 3, 18 through 19. Tyranny is pure evil, and it is happening in America. The sin of being silent. And, you know, you read, it's the New King James version of this. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you've warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. That's interesting. I mean, at the very least, those of us who are people of faith have a duty, don't we, to stand up and to speak up, to warn people? Yeah, I think we do. As Americans, we do, whether you're a person of faith or not. It is your birthright. It is your duty. Declaration of Independence states clearly, it is our duty to throw off tyranny. I'm paraphrasing it. But they said it was your duty. Freddie writes me a text, says, if you want to discriminate against the socialist liberal Democrats who want to disrespect the American flag and American values and those who do not assimilate in English. Yeah, you know, if you want to create controversy, just demand that English become the official and only spoken language of Oregon. Watch what happens. Look, I'm telling you, folks, I think, as Rich said, we've just all had enough. It's time to push back big time. It's time for us to say we've had enough. And that may mean some personal pain to you. Are you willing? Are you willing to experience that? Are you willing to stand up and be criticized and take the slings? And look, nobody likes it. What is your liberty worth? What is the liberty that we want to extend to our children, our grandchildren, future generations? What is that worth fighting for? I go back to the founders in the Declaration who pledged their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor. They committed treason, and they were willing to do it because there was something higher. And that something higher was liberty, friends. It is what binds us together. Truly is what binds us together, friends. And we must stand firm in the cause of liberty. If not, everything that America has ever stood for has become meaningless. Thanks, friends. Great to have you with us today. I deeply appreciate you listening. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you will be too. Be blessed. Keep praying for our leaders, because boy, they need a lot of it. Keep standing and firm and be resolved. You're going to stand and fight for what you believe is. See you tomorrow.